Hello and welcome back to another episode of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football. I think we are now on episode 6, which feels weird to say because quite a lot of episodes that, we've got into. On the podcast this week, we are going to be recapping, well, really just the Scotland games. We'll preview the one coming up tomorrow against Poland, and we're going to sort of just recap how we thought Scotland performed against Croatia on Friday night. On the podcast tonight, I have every single person with me. Finlay, how are you doing?
Not too bad. I'm quite excited. First win in I don't know how long. It's been good.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Robbie, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, mate. I'm doing well. Looking forward to another episode.
Archie, how are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm bloody freezing, but yeah, all good. Looking forward to it.
See, I went out a walk earlier on today, and I'm a shorts and sort of hoodie kind of guy. It's kind of how I live my life. And I went in and I grabbed a coffee out of well, I'm not going to say what it was because no brand deals, but went in and got a coffee, and that's dreadful, isn't it? And the
Not
woman,
yet.
she said to me, she went, God, are you no freezing? I went, no, I'm all right. She went, it's bloody Baltic out there. She went, no wonder you're wanting a coffee. Sure, you don't want a hot chocolate. And I'm like, no. I'm all good. I'll take my coffee. But
It's summer all year round.
I get it. I get it. Friday night, Scotland beat Croatia. It was a 1-0. It was a John McGinn finish that took Scotland to. I don't know if it's taken us to the brink of doing something really great, considering we still have Poland to face tomorrow. And you look at where the Scotland-Poland game at Hampden, kind of what happened there. I don't know how to feel about it. It just seems that whenever Scotland set themselves up to do something really, really great, they'll either do something really, really great, or they'll do something so typically Scottish, and that would be fluff their lines. I don't know if anyone's got any sort of anyone agrees with me on that. Someone disagrees with me. Finlay, what are you thinking?
Immediately brought back to the Euros. You expected a loss against Germany, then the draw against Switzerland, and you thought like they've teed themselves up for maybe the greatest night in Scottish footballing history, and then go and sit deep and lose to Hungary in added time. And so basically, yeah, coming into this, you're getting a bit of deja vu, aren't you?
You do, and I just want to quickly clarify something. Stuart Armstrong should have had a penalty in that Hungary game, and no one and nobody will change my mind on it. Scotland were shafted out of that, but I'm going to digress. Archie, what about yourself? Do you think Scotland have set themselves up for something really great, or are we thinking deja vu is going to hit here?
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good score, especially to get your first win of this campaign. And I think better still than if Portugal can end up holding off Croatia when they do play them. But the game then could have a heavy pendulum swing for Scotland, and if they can end up getting second, of course Poland are going to be eyeing up that spot as well. That second place finish, it could be unlikely, but it would be great to end all these international breaks we've been having. Nice way to end out the year for sure.
Robbie, what about yourself?
I do think it could be a bit of a turning point for Scotland, actually. When you've not won in since I think September last year, there's going to be a very big morale boost from that win. And in the Poland game last time, you only lost to a 90 plus 7th minute penalty, I think. So you scored two goals against Poland last time. You looked good, very good against Croatia on Friday. So I think there definitely could be maybe some more joy to come for Scotland tomorrow.
Mac, what about yourself?
Yeah, no, I'm confident going into this, which is a change. Usually hope is what kills you, being a Scotland fan, but definitely I'm confident. The performance against Croatia was fantastic to a man, and I've got good faith in Ronaldo maybe doing us a favour. That side of the bargain, and I'm confident Scotland will get a job done in Poland as well.
I don't know that I might totally be in the minority here. Obviously, Scotland won on Friday, but I'm not gonna lie. I don't know how I feel. I think there was performances that I thought were quite. I was like, no one played really badly, right? But also, I think there's players that could have played a lot better than what they did. And yeah, I don't know. I don't. I'm trying not to be too critical of a team that have, that obviously went on to win it. And over the course of Steve Clarke's tenure as Scotland manager, these same players have performed really well. But I just thought there was some lackluster performances on Friday. Ralston would be my first person that I would pick out. Gilmore, I thought, was a little bit shaky, especially when he blasted a couple of shots over the bar. Kenny McLean in the first half gave the ball away and almost led to a Croatia goal. I just think there was performances that you just think I don't understand. Kenny McLean's one for me. Don't understand how he consistently gets in the Scotland team because I don't think he does that well, and I think that amplified by that mistake he made on Friday night. I don't know. People can disagree with it, obviously, but I think there was performances from Ben Doak, Tommy Conway, Craig Gordon was outstanding. I don't think everyone had that same level. Does that make sense? Does anyone disagree?
I disagree with Ken McLean. I agree, Ken McLean probably, if we're going off form, probably shouldn't be in the squad based on merit. But I think when he came in, he has performed well. For was it away to Croatia? I think he played particularly well. But then I would also say it might be the time, like a passing of the guard, maybe see Lennon Miller get called up. But then I don't think Ken McLean will be in the squad much longer when we have a full complement when Lewis Ferguson's back as well.
Yeah, I think you were just looking to maybe have a little bit of steel because obviously Gilmore's kind of a bit of a diminutive player, and there's a worry that if you put someone of a similar stature next to him, then the two of them get bulldozed. But I'm with you, Stefan, about McLean. I thought Gilmore wasn't at his best, but does what he does. Like the fundamentals of Billy Gilmore are come sit deep, get the ball from the centre backs, and keep forming triangles. And I felt like every time he wasn't there, McLean should have been there and wasn't. Or every time he got the ball, he was looking to McLean to progress it up further up the field. And I didn't see McLean there. And I know I noticed just before halftime a bit of a back and forth with the two of them. And I think McLean should have been doing a lot more from what I would call Billy Gilmore's area, which is the bottom third of the pitch between there and the kind of top third. That's the space for him to kind of progress the ball. And that's what John McGinn came in and did a bit more. Or even Scott McTominay had to come deep to perform that role for him. And I just thought that showed him up not as a bad player, but maybe not as the option that they need to carry them forward. But I think maybe I'm being too harsh.
Well, that was my worry because I always try and remain like objective, and I'm not into bandwagon hopping. I don't like jumping on players or anything like that. But I just think Kenny McLean has done really well for Steve Clarke in the games that he's came in. Like if you remember against Israel back in October of 2020, I think it was the semi-finals of the playoffs for Euro 2020. He came in and he scored that penalty in the penalty shootout, and it was thunderous. And he has had some really good games for Scotland, but I think equally there have been games that completely pass him by. And I thought Friday night was a prime example of that. But yeah, I think you both make fair and valid points. Robbie, Archie, you guys get anything to say on that?
I would say that in regards to Billy Gilmore, I would say maybe criticising him because of his missed opportunities is slightly harsh because I don't really think that is the type of game that he plays. I wouldn't say that he's a natural finisher. He does snatch at a lot of his chances, but I don't think that is the game that he plays. Especially in the second half, I thought that Scotland looked, after the red card, I thought Scotland looked very much more in control of the game, as you would with an extra man. But I thought Billy Gilmore played very well in terms of his passing range, creating opportunities, stuff like that in the second half. So I get, he probably didn't play as well as he could have done, but to slate him massively, I don't think is probably that fair.
Yeah,
Well,
probably.
that. Oh,
Oh,
sorry. On you
sorry.
go, Archie. On you go.
No, just going off what Robbie said, I think, that second half looked much more promising, but I think it's just how long it took for Scotland to then match Croatia's intensity. It shouldn't take it for a man to come off for that kind of intensity to increase. And I think The balls Gilmore and McTominay ended up receiving later into that second half were a lot more positive. So, yeah, like it's easy to focus on the negatives, isn't it? But like you've got players like we've mentioned about Gordon. He was really a pillar. Like his aerial presence was fantastic in that game. Maybe his defence let him down. Hanley maybe let him down closer towards that second half. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's easy to focus on the negatives always. But the performance to put it up and then get the win. Definitely take it away.
It was definitely a. It was a. The first 15, 20 minutes, you felt like Croatia could go on and do a fair bit of damage here. But as the game progressed and, Susic got sent off, that obviously changes the game. And Scotland become a lot more dynamic and they become a little bit more aggressive in their press. And they start pushing Croatia around a little bit. On the red card, quickly. Don't know about anyone else, but I was slightly surprised that it happened because some referees like to let a fair bit go. This official did not. He gave the guy two chances, and after the second one, he was like, right, off. We don't see that kind of level of referee strictness enough, so I think it surprised me a little bit. Obviously, the changing moment in the game. Do you think that's something Croatia can look back on and say that's kind of where the game got away from us there and then we never adapted to the way Scotland played and then they just started to it's almost as if Croatia just decided they were going to play on the counter, Finlay.
Yeah, I don't want to put Scotland's performance down, but I definitely feel Croatia might feel hard done by that night because there were a couple of decisions. Modric obviously argued with the ref a lot, and I think maybe he had a point there. And the like you said, both of those fouls were a yellow card each, individually. But when you put that together, I don't know, just like you said, two in a row. Without any other fouls around it, it feels harsh and it feels like maybe he would have let that one go because of giving a yellow so early on. I just think maybe not that, but overall, decisions on corners and deflections, I think maybe they didn't get the rub of the green against Scotland.
Robbie, what about yourself?
Yeah, to be honest, I think that the first yellow card was maybe a bit of a dodgy one. It was I wouldn't have said that that was a foul. He's coming from behind, but it just looks like a standard clash you'd see in the majority of football games that would usually maybe be given for a foul, maybe even not. But I also do think that at that point, yeah, you are on a yellow card. The second challenge was silly. The second challenge, it was not extremely dangerous, but he comes in and he grazes his knee with his boot. So it's one of them where I think kind of probably it wasn't fair for it to be a red card because of the first yellow, but because of the position he was in, and then to make a silly challenge like that you can't complain too much, I think.
I think when you look at it, it's a nothing area of the field. He doesn't necessarily have to go in and make that challenge, but he does, and he gives the referee a decision to make. And I think that's all it will boil down to in the end is that he did make that challenge, as unnecessary as it might have been to make, or as much as Croatia and Luka Modric in particular. And I think was it Kramaric as well? He got booked for protesting it. You can understand where they're coming from, but you can also understand that harsh, yes, but fair equally, yeah, probably. I think people would make that argument. Obviously, big night for Scotland. Craig Gordon, big night for him. He was supposed to be finished with the national team after that game against Finland at Hampden just before the Euro 24 started. Massive player to come back into the setup. Really strong player for Scotland. Made a couple of crucial saves. It's hard for Scotland fans to look and say, we've got good players in midfield. We've got McTominay. We've got Gilmore. We've got up and coming players on the wing. The goalkeeping slot doesn't feel as secure as it did maybe 18 months ago when Angus Gunn first came into the team. He's I feel like he's somewhat petered off a bit. He's now out with an injury. Craig Gordon's come back into the fold. How massive, I guess, is Craig Gordon for Scotland now going forward? Because who else comes in? Who can replace? Who can be the number one if anything happens to Craig Gordon? Mac.
Yeah, just echoing what you said. It isn't a very, it's a quite an insecure position. Craig Gordon, he's, I think he's 41, he'll be 42 at the end of this year. He doesn't look like he's shown any signs of slowing down. It looks as good as he's ever been. He's won his spot number one jersey back at Hearts as well. I think a lot of us probably thought his career was finished when he had that injury. So it's a true mark of his character to come back from that. And then I would agree that as an insecure position, you don't know, will Angus Gunn reclaim it? I don't think Angus Gunn has really been deserving of it, based off his Scotland performances. But then, look, we know Angus Gunn's a good goalkeeper, we know Craig Gordon's a good goalkeeper. It is, but for me, it's Craig Gordon's position to lose. Who comes in if he does retire? Probably Angus Gunn. The other options aren't very good. You've got Liam Kelly, who doesn't play for Rangers. You've got Xander Clarke, who's no longer playing for Hearts. So it's Craig Gordon's for as long as he wants it for me.
We just never mentioned Xander Clarke's name with the Scotland setup again. I've literally just said about 10 minutes ago I don't like to be too harsh on players, but oh my God, Xander Clarke is probably one of the worst. Him and Scott Bain, probably two of the worst goalkeepers I've seen play for the national team. Sorry, had to get that out there. Finlay, what about yourself? What do you think? Is it a perilous position for Scotland if anything happens to Craig Gordon?
I would say definitely it's the amount of depth there is shocking. I know Mac just listed some of the options. All of those are either sat on the bench at a club or, just in terrible form. The third option being Kieran Slicker, who's played maybe five games of senior football in the EFL Cup. It's worrying. There's no real good reason for Scotland to be relying on the keeper that I saw at my first ever football match at Hampden in 2006. That was Craig Gordon as well. So the fact that Scotland is still turning to him, I mean, don't get me wrong, he has been fantastic and should continue to be Scotland's keeper. But beyond that, the lack of options is, I would say, not a Steve Clarke problem, but an SFA problem.
Yeah, Mac, you obviously alluded to the fact that he got injured last season or the season before. It looked like quite a bad injury. We know he's came back from a very serious injury earlier on in his career. It does speak to the character of him, and I've not always been Craig Gordon's biggest fan, but I think he's a massive player for Scotland. That save, literally with the studs of his shoe, stopped Croatia going 1-0 up. He's got the reflexes of a cat. Almost. And while I have my criticisms and judgments of him, he absolutely is. He's a key man, I think, for that Scotland team, because when he's in goal, he's got a big save in him. So I think that's a fair point. Okay, we've touched on the Croatia game. Let's look ahead to Poland. Scotland need to win ultimately to make sure that they can put themselves in the best possible position. Anything that happens elsewhere with Croatia and Portugal, that's out of Scotland's control. We look ahead to tomorrow, we look at Poland and the opposition. What are we giving Scotland's chances, Robbie?
Well, like I say, I do think that probably the win will give them that kind of morale to believe that they can go and do it. They've got a goal. They've got goals in them, Scotland. And I think, to be honest, the two players that they can probably look at Scotland fans with a little bit of hope are Ben Doak and Tommy Conway, because I think both of them played very, very well on Friday. And I think that the positive thing about the two of them is that they're currently playing together at club level. I've got a mate who's a Borough fan, and he absolutely raves about Ben Doak. Obviously, I've watched Ben Doak myself for a number of years when he's been playing, coming on in cup games and whatnot for Liverpool. He's a brilliant, brilliant player, and he looked absolutely fantastic against Croatia. So I think that he's got that kind of that almost resilience and tenacity that you want to see in a young player. He feels like he's got something to prove. and I think he could be a big problem for Poland on Monday. But the thing is, as well, is I think that Tommy Conway offers a lot in terms of his, in terms of Doak's overall play. A lot of it comes from the movement of Tommy Conway. I think he's brilliant at kind of dropping into those little pockets of space. Well, you saw it. There was a viral clip that went out after the Croatia game where Ben Doak spun Gvardiol. It was absolutely beautiful. But that all comes from Conway dropped in deep, received the ball, plays him through, and Doak goes in behind. So I think that kind of partnership is something that could probably be quite positive for Scotland in the future, and hopefully on Monday.
Yeah, Ben Doak gave Josko Gvardiol an absolute torrid time. He £80 million, I think, Manchester City paid. He got absolutely ran ragged by Ben Doak. And any Scotland fan or any Borough fan or even any Liverpool fan looking at him, they're saying, for someone that does not look like a player, he looks like an absolute player. Finlay, what about yourself? Thoughts for Poland? What are you thinking?
It's a winnable one, didn't they? They just lost 5-1 to Portugal. They are without Lewandowski. If there was any time, I mean, I'm not expecting necessarily Scotland still have to do a bit of work goal difference wise and hope, Croatia don't get a result that's now in a way out of their hands. What's not out of their hands is getting 3 points, and I think that's expected. I think that's not being kind of too critical. I think they need to make up for previous performances and they need to get 3 points definitely here. What I would ask though, all of you, is if you had to make one change from the last game for the Poland game, what would you change about the Scotland squad? And I'll start with you, Stefan, and then we can work our way around. I'd be interested to know.
What would I change from the last time Scotland played Poland?
Just you can only make one. No, from the Croatia game, you can only make one change. What would it be?
That's a it's a very, very good question. If I'm, it's a hard one. And I don't know like how many options we have, but Grant Hanley at this level for me, I thought he was great during the Euros of 2020. Passed them by in the Euros there. I would like to see maybe like a Porteous or even a Nicky Devlin come into the squad and offer that little bit of freshness defensively. That's kind of all I would like to see, a little bit of a shape up there. And then obviously just a really strong performance from the rest of the team. But yeah, that's for me. I know I literally said 15 minutes ago I'm not here to slate players or give them the hard time.
And
Such a hypocrite.
well, Devlin's definitely done enough, I think, maybe to earn himself another chance. What about you, Archie?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the biggest thing that you do is get McLean off. Simple as that. you don't include him in that squad. The chances he was given up, particularly that early one with Kramchich, I think it was. I think, like you've said, like he's a bit past his expiry date now, and it's just about as useful as a dry mouth, to be honest. So yeah, no, I don't know who you'd put in there instead. I think you'd maybe like look to the bench in that occasion. So maybe just starting it off a bit stronger. Yeah, maybe looking for a Dykes or just starting with McGinn, to be honest. But I think that is where the biggest change for me would come. Just leave off McLean.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't listen to this pod. Mac.
I know, I feel like I'm the only person who said something nice about Ken McLean, but is actually the only change I would make is probably dropping him. I get what you're saying, Stefan, about Nicky Devlin. That wouldn't be the stupidest thing to start Nicky Devlin instead of Ralston, but if I was to make just one change, it would probably be drop Ken McLean and then I'd bring in, I forgot John McGinn was on the bench, probably bring on John McGinn, but I would like to see Ryan Gold start as well, which I think he could start and he could play on the left. Christie's played in the middle for Bournemouth, so it'd be interesting to see. I don't actually think he will start Gold. He seems to have some vendetta against Ryan Gold.
No, I think Ryan Gold might have done enough to keep himself in future squads, but not enough to start. And Robbie, you'll be the last one that I'm going to ask.
Start John McGinn, I think. I think he's too good not to be starting for Scotland, to be honest. And everyone's clearly made their thoughts clear about Kenny McLean. So I think it's clearly, I mean, it seems like the obvious substitution for me. Obviously, he came on, he scored the decisive goal. And I think, yeah, like I say, he's too good not to be in the squad.
Almost unanimous. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm happy with that. I don't disagree. I think it was going to be Kenny McLean for me, and maybe even putting Scott McTominay further back or dropping him deeper, maybe, seeing someone else sit behind the striker. But yeah.
No, that's absolutely fair. Let's go score predictions. Then we'll move on to the most anticipated part of tonight. Finlay, go by yourself. Poland versus Scotland. Stadion Nadalwy. Who are we saying? Who's winning it?
Scotland 3-0, and you can print that.
Jesus. Okay, Mac.
It's Scotland 2-0, and I'll go John McGinn and Ben Doak for the goals.
Archie.
I will go Scotland 1-0, and I'll also go with Doakes for that goal.
And Robbie.
Scholar 2-1, I would say.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, Robbie. I think there's only going to be maybe one goal in it. Yeah, I can't say it's been comprehensive. It's 3-0. But we look forward to it. We hope it is. We're now going to move on to our what's going to become a weekly segment in our quiz. Finlay, you are the reigning defending champion almost, and that really sickens me to say it because it was an absolute backdoor victory. I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to stay on and take on a potential challenger, or do you want to step out of this one and we'll see if we can find a new one and you can not defend the crown? What do you want to do?
Oh, I've enjoyed my time at the top, but I think it's maybe time to let some new blood have a go. But I appreciate it.
As per the rules, 30 seconds on the clock. We're going to ask as many questions as we can in that time. You can pass. We're not going to come back to it, but you can certainly pass. And yeah, if it ends in a draw, we go to a tiebreaker. It's as simple as that. Right, Archie, are you ready?
Yes.
Perfect. At Euro 2020, what was the final score between Scotland and Croatia?
2-1 Croatia.
What is the combined total of major honours won between Celtic and Rangers?
Oh, Jesus. 45.
Who won the 1991 Scottish Cup final?
That again.
Who won the 1991 Scottish Cup final?
Someone did. oh no, it was
All right.
Motherwell.
Well, I will accept that. 9 seconds late, but I will accept that. All right, Mac. You were in there for slightly longer than you had to be, but you can blame Archie on that one. All right, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock and we're going to go again. At Euro 2020, what was the final score between Scotland and Croatia?
3-1.
What is the combined total of major honours won between Celtic and Rangers?
1,234.
Who won the 1991 Scottish Cup final?
Aberdeen.
Which Scotland international captained Chelsea women versus Celtic on Wednesday night?
Erin Cuthbert.
And who did Livingston knock out of the SPFL Trust Trophy this past week?
Pass.
All right,
Morton.
we are done.
Yeah, Morton,
So,
I think.
out of time. Out of time, but you were spot on. Okay, Archie, how do you think you did?
Yeah, no, I think I've definitely exceeded myself there. So, yeah, I think that's a rousing victory, certainly.
All right, perfect. Let's go for it. At Euro 2020, what was the final score between Scotland and Croatia? It was 3-1 to Croatia. So well done, Mac. What was the combined total number of major honours won between Celtic and Rangers? Mate, you were a couple out. It was 236.
I knew that as soon as I answered. As soon as I answered that, I knew it.
The winners of the 1991 Scottish Cup final was Motherwell, and Erin Cuthbert did captain Chelsea women against Celtic on Wednesday night, and Greenock Morton were the team knocked out by Livingston this past week. So, although you were out of time, I mean, pretty good effort. So you got one, two. Yeah, you get two. It's a 2-1 win for you,
Oh,
but
take it.
better than a nil-nil.
I
Feel like that's a bit of a catching a bit of a stray there, but
Yeah, one on penalties, but whatever.
yeah, we didn't need the tiebreaker this week. By the way, some of these questions, see the questions that I never asked this week, they are going to get altered for next week. I just need to word them slightly differently, but they're getting kept in because I was choking to ask some of those questions. But no, well done to Mac. Strong performance, to be fair. You're the champion for this week, so yeah, we'll rock with that. Perfect. That wraps us up for episode 6 of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football. Finlay, Mac, Robbie, and Archie, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate your time. And if you have not yet listened to last week or any other episodes, you know where they are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else where you get your podcast from. We will see you again next Monday at 4 p.m. And until then, hopefully Scotland beat Poland, and we can all celebrate Scotland doing really well. So, yeah, we will catch you all again next time.